Hello, I'm Jeff Watts, and welcome to the latest edition of Advances in Eye Care. In this edition, we're revisiting the topic of referrals. You may remember our first referral special, where we travelled around the UK to clarify the national guidelines on referral, examine how these relate to local procedures, and explore the role of the individual in decision-making. You can find that edition on the Docket website in the audio library. This time, our guest presenter John Waite is back and ready to update you on developments in the area. So I'll hand straight over to John.
Thank you, Jeff. Yes, in this edition of Advances in Eye Care, we're taking another look at the referral process. Since our first referral special in 2015, the situation across the UK has changed significantly. There have been changes to guidelines, including the NICE guidelines on cataracts, AMD and glaucoma. Some of the policy changes we heard about in Edition 1 have taken root as regional variations, and fundamentally attitudes towards eye healthcare and management in practice are changing. In the first edition, we travelled across the length and breadth of the UK to speak to optometrists and policy makers. We spoke to the people behind regional referral systems, and we heard how they work and what we could learn from them. In this edition, we are going to hear how individual regional schemes have developed, how they have grown, and what they have learned. We're also going to be visiting new places and talking to new experts and policymakers who are leading pioneering initiatives to transform the referral pathways in their areas. And we will update you on the development of specific disease pathways. As before, our aim is to examine the different ways of improving referral pathways, to optimise the use of optometric expertise and resources, to streamline the process and reduce the number of unnecessary referrals whilst maintaining high standards of care. Jeff Robison, professional advisor to the Association of Optometrists, joins us again along the journey. We will hear from Jeff throughout the programme as he weighs in on our case studies and explains how the national guidelines apply. Wherever you work, there are college guidelines relating to appropriate management. These are what may be referred to if any investigation into practice is instigated, and that it is for the individual to ensure that any referral decision falls within accepted advice on practice. So, Jeff, welcome back to the programme. Can you begin by setting the scene and reminding us how referrals are categorised, how the national guidelines apply, and why there can be variations from these?
Well, local protocols are quite important because there will inevitably be local variations across the country for a number of reasons, not least of which the personal preferences of the consultants who are receiving the referral. Also, possibly the availability of local enhanced services may make a difference to how patients are referred and what pathways are available. And also, we shouldn't forget secondary care issues, such as the need to manage waiting lists, particularly for high-volume activities like cataract surgery. And this is something that we're all fairly familiar with. Also, because there are variations across the country, it's important to know exactly what's in place where you happen to work. And I accept that this can be confusing, particularly if you're on the border of a number of different CCG areas, for instance. And this is a particular problem for locums if you are working in a number of different practices, that requirements, the referral pathways and your obligations in relation to those may vary quite widely. The responsibility does lie with practices in some respects to assist in this situation. If they employ locums, they need to have information available to those locums about what referral pathways are in existence and what criteria the locum needs to follow. If you're not sure what referral pathways are available in your area, then contact your local optical committee for specific local advice. If you're not sure how to contact your local optical committee, then contact the LOC support unit and they should be able to assist you. Obviously, if there is a referral pathway, you should follow it, really, unless there are very compelling clinical reasons not to. If you don't follow it, it may cause unintended and unnecessary delays to the patient receiving the care that they need. Whatever you decide to do, though, your overriding principle should be to act in the patient's best interests. This may mean applying first aid measures, particularly in an emergency situation. Clearly, record keeping is important. And if you are referring a patient, you need to make sure that your record shows why you decided to refer them, and also perhaps that you considered alternatives to the referral. And this is particularly important if there is a local pathway and you have decided not to follow it for some compelling reason. If things don't go smoothly, for instance, if there is a delay in the patient being seen, you may have to defend your decisions. And as you will hear me stress later in the programme, your record keeping in these situations is all that you can rely on to support your decisions. Obviously, you will, in most cases where you're referring a patient, be communicating with other healthcare professionals, and it's important to keep copies of all of the communications.
Thank you, Jeff. Now that we have established the national frameworks, we want to know how these apply to individual contexts and whether local procedures can override them. We know that referrals can be categorized by urgency, emergency, urgent or fast track, and non-urgent or routine referrals. Jeff, what is an emergency? When should a patient be sent straight to A&E?
Well, in simple terms, when you think that there's an immediately sight-threatening or indeed life-threatening problem. So unless there is a fast-track pathway in your area for that specific condition, you have a number of options. So you're going to need to decide what's the most effective pathway that's available to you. Obviously, if it's during normal office hours, then your local eye department may still be working. If you have a hospital with an eye casualty department, that would be the ideal scenario. If it's outside office hours, then accident and emergency may be your only option. Obviously, if you're going to refer a patient as an emergency, you need to send them with some referral information. And if possible, telephone the secondary care facility ahead to let them know to expect the patient, what the nature of the problem is, and that there will be someone available to deal with them. Hopefully, you'll be able to speak to the on-call ophthalmologist. In terms of what might constitute an emergency referral, by that I mean a patient who needs to be seen within 24 hours or sooner. We always tend to think about retinal detachment, and this is probably the most obvious, particularly if it's a macular on detachment. But there are other things that might occur in the practice, other breaks in the retina and tears, a good example, acute angle closure, sight-threatening keratitis, particularly if the patient's in severe pain, possibly hyphema and hypopyon, sudden and severe ocular pain, sudden unexplained loss of vision, and some potentially life-threatening conditions, papilledema, not something where a delay to the patient is acceptable, orbital cellulitis, another fortunately relatively rare condition, but potentially life-threatening, giant cell arteritis, if the patient has maintained normal vision, and also perhaps a sudden onset diplopia, particularly if it has a traumatic origin. Other neurological problems, for instance, optic neuritis, probably don't constitute an emergency referral that needs to be seen within 24 hours. If you're in any doubt, then make contact with the on-call ophthalmologist and seek their advice. Obviously, you'll need to use your clinical judgment about what constitutes an emergency and be prepared to defend it. And if you're in any doubt, the rule of thumb is to refer the patient on the basis that it's better to be criticised for an unnecessary urgent referral than for the patient losing their sight. In terms of the record keeping, in a situation like this, you may need to make a number of phone calls, as I suggested. Remember to make a note on the patient's record with the details of the conversation every time you speak to another healthcare professional about the patient and their management. Make a note of the date and time on this entry, and in particular, note the name and position of the person that you spoke to. And this is particularly important if they've given you advice on what the patient should do. Last but not least, inform the patient's GP of what you have done.
You mentioned fast-track schemes. Can you talk to us more about those and where this might be an appropriate referral pathway?
A patient, for instance, with anterior uveitis or a pre-retinal hemorrhage, particularly if they're a diabetic, maybe things that constitute what we might describe as an urgent referral. That is, it's not an emergency, their sight is not immediately at risk, but you don't want them to wait for a routine appointment. If you feel that the referral is urgent, then there are a number of things that you need to do. I would advise that urgent appointments are made or urgent referrals are made direct to your local secondary care facility and not via the patient's GP. fast-track pathways take some of the uncertainty out of the referral process. They give you a clearer understanding of what clinical criteria you should be considering, and in particular, what timescale you should be following. And it all helps to ensure that the patient is directed to the correct clinic and to the correct specialist in an appropriate time frame.
Thank you, Jeff. That is a comprehensive introduction to the different types of referrals that optometrists can encounter. Armed with this reminder, we will start our journey. In the following sections of this program, we're going to look at practical examples of highly developed referral pathways on local and national levels that are changing the role of optometry within their communities.